May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, we are now in the second week of Lent. And I think for some of us, that's starting to sink in. We have a long way to go until Easter. Lent is hard work. Perhaps you've had some trouble keeping up your Lenten practice, whatever that is. Perhaps you haven't started a Lenten practice yet and are feeling a little bit guilty. In any case, if our Lenten practice or lack of one helps us remember our brokenness, our dependence upon God, and our love of God, then it's working. Doesn't matter how many times you eat chocolate when you're not supposed to, or you complain when you gave up complaining for Lent, or whatever it is, as long as you go back to it. Because the aim of all spiritual practices is not to be perfect. The aim of spiritual practice is to help us learn how to love God with all our heart and mind and soul. So do not lose heart. We are reminded today in the lessons of God's promises to us. Promises that do not fail, even when we do. Now, we've been hearing the story of Abraham and Sarah from the book of Genesis for a few weeks. And Abraham didn't always get it right. At first, Abraham questions God. At first, he doubts God's promise that he would be the father of a great nation. And because he does not fully trust God at first, Abraham does some bad things. They're traveling through foreign lands, and to keep himself safe, he says that Sarah is his sister instead of his wife, and it ends up putting her in danger. And then, instead of trusting God, they try to take things into their own hands by having Abraham have a son with Hagar, Sarah's slave. But God keeps coming back to Abraham. Then his name was Abram. Comes to him in a vision and reminds him again and again of the promise. As the stars in the night sky, so shall your descendants be. And this time, Abram believes God's promise. And God rewards him for his faith. And in today's reading from Genesis, God makes a promise, a covenant with Abram and Sarai, changing their names to Abraham and Sarah, the way we know them. And in fact, three great world religions take Abraham and Sarah as their father and mother in faith, take Abraham as their father in faith, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And if you keep reading in Genesis and Exodus, you see that God keeps his covenant with Abraham and the Israelites, even when they break it over and over. God keeps his covenant with us, even when we fall and fail over and over. God's promises do not fail, even when we do. And then we move to the Gospel of Mark. Now, just before this, Peter has gotten it right. Jesus asked them, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Messiah, the Christ." But then Jesus begins to tell them for the first time the truth about his identity and mission, the truth about what kind of Messiah he really is, a truth that none of them wants to hear. Isn't the Messiah supposed to be a powerful servant of God who would set everything right, save the Jewish people from the oppressive rule of the Romans, perhaps even raise an army? That's what the disciples thought. And before we are too hard on Peter, don't we also long for a God who will save us from all suffering? But the things that Jesus tells the disciples, that he must suffer and be rejected by the religious leaders and be killed, do not compute with them. They who are his friends, who have been with him in his ministry of healing, cannot understand why he will have to die. But neither friends nor enemies can turn Jesus from his path. He will continue to heal the sick and preach good news to the poor. He will continue on to Jerusalem and the cross. Jesus will be rejected by many, but he will give his life freely out of love for all people. And Jesus gives his disciples a promise that is also a paradox. For those who want to save their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. It is a promise and a paradox. Jesus is not talking so much about actual life and death, and yet he is. Jesus is talking about how we live our lives on this earth, this side of eternal life. What is our focus most of the time? Do we focus on our own status and position in the world? Or do we focus on the larger life that Jesus is offering us? Jesus is telling us that if we focus on our own agendas most of the time, we will miss the opportunities to participate in God's work in our lives and in the world. If we focus on our own agendas so much, we will live a half life. A life that falls far short of the fullness and abundance of life that God wants for all of us. In short, we will lose our life even while we continue to live. But, Jesus tells us, if instead we can focus on God, we will be given the courage to risk giving up some of our own agendas. And the more that we can do this, live out of God's love for us, and reflect that love back into the world, the more that we will live the larger life that God intends for us. We will save our life, the life that God wants for us, by being willing to sacrifice our selfish goals and desires. This is not easy, but it is the life to which we are called. God does not promise us a life without suffering. God promises to be with us in our suffering. Jesus took on flesh, became incarnate to show us who God really is. And in doing so, Jesus redefined God to the world. Jesus showed the disciples that God is not wrath, word that Paul used, but that God is love. And Julian of Norwich, the wonderful 14th century mystic, writes wonderfully about God. She experienced God as pure love. She writes, "Our soul is deep rooted in God for endless love." And one of my favorite things, she writes, "It is God's work to love the hell out of us." And in the last chapter of her book, which she wrote after years and years and years of prayer around the visions that she was given, she writes, "I desired in many ways to know what was our Lord's meaning. And 15 years after and more, I was answered in spiritual understanding, and it was said, 'Know it well. Love was his meaning.' Who reveals it to you? Love. What did he reveal to you? Love. Why does he reveal it to you? For love. Remain in this, and you will know more of the same, but you will never know different without end." God's promises do not fail, even when we do.